Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hi, petty bitches.
This is Davina Devine.
And this is Victoria's Secret, a.k.a. your two favorite Dublin drag divas.
TM, terms and conditions apply. Divas may not actually be divas.
We've had a lot of new people who are now have just started joining.
I can't hear you in my thing. Does that make a difference?
Can you not?
Oh, there no, you go. Yeah, now you can. Sorry about that. We're having some testicle issues here.
And we're raw and authentic, so I'm not cutting that out.
No.
We're warts and all, including on the last episode, a minute and 54 that, silence that was a for minute, the Eurovision.
That was for Leslie. Yeah, that was a minute silence.
It was.
It was nothing to do with me not moving the track up and deleting that silence.
Okay, Tina, we've had loads of new listeners and people that are binging the podcast. So if you've just joined from this episode, we're going to give you a little description of what the podcast bloody is.
We do love a binge, we have to say, any kind of binge. We're your binge sisters. The bingeettes.
So every, Davina, you like to call it bi-weekly.
Yeah, I love that. I like, so you can catch us every bi-weekly, bi-Thursday, bi-local.
Bye, bitch.
Bye, bye.
And you can enjoy some salacious hot topics.
Oh, killer interview.
And more importantly, who the fuck's been grinding our tits that week?
Titties.
Oh, me tits.
My God, there's a lot of grinds, isn't there? I feel like a secondary school student. There's so much grinding going on.
But most of all, we want to encourage everyone who listens to stay the fuck petty. Yes. Because if you're not staying petty, some bitch is going to walk all over you.
We can all be a little petty and you're in the right place. So... stay my petties.
So welcome to all our new petty bitch friends, especially to our new patrons. But let's get into it, Davina. Let's have a bit of a girly gossip.
Let's do it.
Now, today's orchestra was brought to you by Dolly Grip in association with...
That would be a great contemporary dance piece, wouldn't it? Do you remember that people were doing that on TikTok and stuff? They were just dancing to like the theme tune of EastEnders?
Yes.
I do quite enjoy
and
that.
And I love the sexy dancing to it. Like, totally like
crumping. Can I just say on the topic of TikTok, I'm obsessed with Bailey Mills. Oh, Bailey Mills. I think it's Bailey Mills 99.
Bailey J. Mills 99. If you haven't checked him out, a drag queen from... I mean, seems to be in Manchester constantly at the moment, but just a funny bitch. Always looking for her glasses.
Always.
Daphne!
So good. And I'm obsessed. My favourite one is where he just comes into the kitchen dress in a dressing gown and he's like, how's school? And they're like, they're supposed to be talking to the child, and then he just goes, packet of crisps, up to bed. Packet of crisps, up to bed.
Or how much? How cheapest chips. Cheap. I have this. I have
check,
this.
Please so check, him out. Check like, him out. I honestly watch every fucking video. Oh, like, I can't get enough. And I had to send him a mail. I was like, girl, I am obsessed. And she's like, oh, thank you, honey. You're such an icon. Aww. I was like, I didn't even know she fucking knew.
He seems really sweet.
So sweet.
Let's start off with a bit of a diva, an icon. Cruella came out this week.
Yes. Oh, very good.
Let's say it together. We both thought it was going to be shit.
We had low expectations.
Very low expectations. Emma Stone's kind of one of those things I'm like, oh, do I want to like be her friend or do I want to absolutely hate on her?
She's one of those people I just think she kind of comes across quite plain Jane, but then every time I see her in a movie, she's actually quite good.
She's kind of good.
Yeah. So, and do you know she's a massive Spice Girl fan as well?
Okay, you have me. Yeah. I'm one. Who's her favourite one?
I think... I actually can't remember. She was on one of those Jimmy Fallons or something and they surprised her with a Spice Girl. I think they surprised her with Mel B and I don't think Mel B was her favourite one. she was iconic in that. And very draggy, wasn't it?
Very draggy. But which Spice Girl message would you get disappointed by if you got one? Now, you have to. Don't be nice.
I wouldn't.
I'm going to tell you, out of all of them, if I was to get a message from any of them, I'd be like, oh God, it was Emma. I wanted the other four.
Do you know, I kind of thought that, but I had newfound respect for her when I saw her slugging a can of Guinness at Croke Park. So, I know, and also she was the only one when they came to Dublin, they went to the after party and they were drinking in Sophie's. Her and Mel B were the only ones that stayed up drinking.
Oh,
so I have respect
Sophie's
for her.
Is our mate, by the way. They went to a lock-in Sophie's. In Sophie's. She lives down by the river. It's very, very glam. No, Sophie's the restaurant we're talking about.
Having a ball.
Yeah.
Well, so indoor dining, yes. Or Cruella, sorry. Yes, Cruella was fab. And I think there'll be a sequel. Do you think?
Oh, 100%. There will, won't there? And I hope Emma Thompson's part of it. Because I have to say...
Well, she can't, she's dead.
But you can't ruin it for everyone. Okay, bleep, bleep, bleep that.
Okay,
bleep, now, bleep, bleep. Whether Tavina remembers to bleep, bleep, bleep. By the way, Tavina is our chief editor of the podcast.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to put a 2-minute silence in there.
So anyway, it was really fucking good. If you haven't found it yet, don't ask us where we watched it. Because if you do ask, we'll be telling you the Disney app and we paid €22. And I'm telling you now.
Yeah. Just call me Walt.
So you were going to talk about something, indoor dining.
Yes, I was going to say indoor dining is back. Well, it's supposed to be back next month. Mm. But I can't remember what we're saying there.
It's not really though. Outdoor dining is starting from the 7th, apparently.
Yes. So the George and stuff has said that they're going to be opening. So the George, of course, for those of you listening abroad, is our little LGBT mothership nightclub / community centre.
If anyone's really struggling to get a table, Dolly Grip has her own table every night of the week. And what you have to do to get that table
is... It's more of an elf little booth, isn't it?
To get that table, you have to DM her just like nipple pictures... Ball pictures, foot. She's really into feet. Send her lots of feet pictures and she'll sort you out with a table.
She will, yeah.
imagine people did that.
Dolly's blowing up with the DMs, blowing up for Dolly Grip. Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, I'd say Dolly's on the dirty Twitter.
Who isn't? Yeah, we're still waiting on you guys to send us in some dirty Twitters to review.
Oh, I got three.
Did you?
Three.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, yeah. I said send them to Victoria because I want to be surprised. So we have to see them. I have to see the virgin
eyes.
Which
is not the truth at all. It's just you want Victoria to keep the list.
Yeah, that's true.
Real.
Yeah.
That's fucking real.
That's true. You keep the list.
So I am excited for some outdoor drinks in the George. I've missed it a lot. We got a little taster of it. I can't wait for just a cool, crisp, like pint of Guinness.
Oh, gross. Speak of gross drinks. I just had an iced tea from Starbucks. We had been thinking about for ages. I love a Lipton iced tea. A Peachy Queen iced tea. And we went in and said, sold out. Victoria's like, oh, she's devastated. Mm. Like an El Mar. She's like, she's devastated. No
I
iced
told
tea.
The woman. Yeah, she was devastated. She's devastated.
And I was just standing there like, I'm not actually, I can move on.
The woman looked like she didn't give two fucks.
She didn't give a fuck.
She's like, not one.
And then she's like, oh, we do have it. So I was like, well, why the fuck is the sign up? Mm-hmm. So I got
too lazy.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to McDonald's.
That's like something I do.
The ice cream machine's broken.
Yeah.
You know fucking well the ice cream machine's not broken.
That's like something I would do. I'd be like, put that sign up. We're closed. But lo and behold, it's actually gross. So I'm not feeling it. It was like green iced tea. I don't know if they're all supposed to be green tea. I don't know. Maybe she misheard, but it was disgusting anyway.
So your official verdict is?
Filth!
Filth!
Won't be having one more of them. In other news, the Friends reunion happened. Now, I was nervous this because I fucking hate James Corden.
Me too.
Like, what is that Americans? Did he do a deal with America?
Well, he's coming back to the UK.
I don't want him back over this side. Keep him over there.
I know. He's. Did you ever see the life stories?
Send him to Australia. Oh, that's where all the celebs.
Do you think he should go to Australia?
I think he should go to Australia. Yeah. That's where celebs I don't like seem to end up like going. Except Jessie J. Have we successfully gotten rid of her yet?
She's been very quiet lately.
Oh, thank God.
No.
That's why she's getting rode by Channing Tatum.
What did you make of the Friends reunion? Did you like it?
I actually thought it was brilliant. Firstly, I was obsessed with the lighting on Jennifer Aniston because there were certain times where, do you know the Addams Family where Morticia
I thought you were going to say her Addams apple.
No!
Like, you know her Addams apple. I was like, what?
No, do you know in the Addams Family, I think it was like values. They had these
the Morticia
torches.
Lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On what was that actress called?
Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston. Mm. That was what was going on with Jennifer Aniston.
Just like lit from certain angles.
Just a certain soft.
She looked really
lighting.
Good, I thought.
She
and
great.
I have to say, I thought Courtney Cox looked actually beautiful. Yeah, considering the bad press she'd been getting lately.
She did.
Now, I know the Matt LeBlanc meme going around, which is actually gas.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, but enough now. It's a bit of the Bernie Sanders. Like, it was funny for
a day.
And then
I get that. But also, David Schwimmer just seems fucking weird. Is he a nice person or is he rotten?
I kind of like him, to be honest. Mm. Like, Ross was never my favorite friend. But all the interviews I've seen of him, he was on Graham Norton and stuff, he seemed kind of like fun.
He's had some weird Botox. Because that face is kind of, it's a bit like, what's the Grinch of Christmas? Or, you know.
Well, they're all getting a little bit
a better
older.
Description. You know, twinks. Like, twinks who are like never aging. They never age. And then all of a sudden.
I didn't know where that was going to go.
No. All of a sudden, that twink who's like so pretty so long. And then all of a sudden, boom, Agatha Christie strikes. And they just, their face goes a bit weird. And they're a bit like a panto.
They sucked on a lemon.
Yes. There's a bang of that off him.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good, all in all. Loved Justin Bieber making a tit of himself.
Very
mobbling.
Strange, wasn't it? It's like he probably wasn't even born when Friends was out.
But because of Netflix, everyone's watching
that's
now.
That's true.
Like,
I thought it was a little bit too long.
No, I enjoyed it.
I thought I enjoyed the moments where they were together on their own.
Yeah.
The parts with him I felt was really flashed out.
It was not needed. Yeah. And the script readings, I really actually enjoyed them. And I have to say, when I heard that they weren't doing like a proper episode, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But actually, it was perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
They've done the show.
And
the show's done.
And I quite liked the randomness of Cindy Crawford being there. That was kind of glam, wasn't it?
And?
That pole face. I'm not into her. Cara Delevingne.
Don't care about her, but go back to Cindy here.
Cindy
was the moment.
Do you think Cindy was wearing the exact trousers? She
not
couldn't have been.
One fucking hope. She is about 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
She's like me trying to get into a Penny's with a hidden zipper.
Do you remember years ago, like when she was at the height of it, and they always said that she used to take the coffee from the coffee maker and she'd rub it under her eyes for the caffeine, and that's how she was so line free. Mm-hmm. And all these Elwins were like rubbing like decaf Nescafe under their eyes and all this crap. And then it came out later that like Botox had been like doing the rounds for years before the normal people could get it.
Cindy was on the down low.
Yeah, good for her.
We loved that. Yeah. Also, what was the trick they used to put on their face that you used on your anus? Like, it was like
hemorrhoid cream.
Yeah. And then the L ones were doing the hemorrhoid cream on their faces too.
And then they had to stop selling it over the counter, so you had to get a prescription. So you'd be like, I've got hemorrhoids under my eyes.
I've never had a hemorrhoid, have you?
Me neither, no.
Do you know who's had loads of hemorrhoids? Ew. Just make someone up for fun. Go on.
Oh no, I can't. No, I'm trying to think. I will tell you this story once before. Oh God, I don't know if I should say the story. Will I say it?
What? Go on, yeah.
Oh God.
Go on.
So I remember, oh no, I can't, it's
no,
actually
everyone
gross.
At home right now is going, say it.
I remember there was, I've seen this guy before and I remember he had really bad hemorrhoids and.
Give me a fake name for this, like Bernice or
no,
something.
I'm not going to give any names for this and because it's actually kind of, and I remember one time I had to help with the cream.
Did you? Oh, I thought you were going to say squeeze it. I was like, oh no.
No, I had to help with cream and it stays with me to this day. But I'm always there to help. I have to say, I'm not one. I don't mind getting my hands dirty, getting stuck in.
You're that bitch, though, that if you see a spot, like I would be prone to the odd, like beauty spot on my back or something. Yeah. Those two thumbs come at you. The divine thumbs, I'm going to call them.
I sometimes don't even ask.
You don't ask. You lynch. You just hop in a dressing room and all of a sudden you're like, ow, ow. And you're like, just one more second.
I remember
squeezing the life out of me.
I remember when I worked in... And there was this girl I worked with. She was like the female me. She was like real messer. Didn't
hiding from work.
Hiding from work. And we used to have. We were just two. like
selling nothing
too,
except kisses to handsome fellas walking by.
Bad girls. She used to say to women that would come in, she'd be like, this one would be like, I would like to buy this blue eyeshadow, and she was like, well, no, that wouldn't really suit you. You'd be better off, you know, these nice goals.
I know who you're talking about.
And she'd be like, oh no, I think I want the blue. And she said, well, there's two options, you can buy this or you can look nice. She used to say that to customers.
Yeah, I can.
And she had a spot one time, she was wearing a halter top, so it was like kind of cutting like under her bra, and she had a spot on her back, and she was like, oh god, I can't, she couldn't get to it. And I said, do you want me to pop it? And she was like, oh, just have a look, it's right. And she couldn't reach it, so I was straight
having
in.
A look for you was not
no
a look.
Having a look, I was like, went straight in with the alcohol. I was like, here we go. So I just gave it a good squeeze, and it just popped, right? And whatever was in it just shot out.
It was a cyst. This is in, fucking
this
cyst.
Is in, she shot across the thing, and she goes, oh. And it turns out it was a cyst.
It was a cyst.
It wasn't a spot. So,
and to squeeze a cyst, by the way, you have to put serious pressure on those bad boys.
I had to get a lot of pent-up aggression working in retail, to be honest. So, but she, in fairness, it didn't come back. So if anyone's looking for a cyst popped,
it's probably still on the floor in there. Like, it was it's probably on a smoke break. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm not going back to that Mac counter. What's the story with Mac? Is it still like as popular? I still go because I love their pencils. I love their lips. And I'm obsessed with their foundations.
The business model, I think, has changed. It's still like an amazing brand.
Yeah.
But you see, when we worked for Mac back in the day...
you were a Mac girl.
I was their Mac
girl, to those of you who are under the age of 25, like, to be a Mac girl was fucking glamorous.
It was the number one makeup brand globally. Yeah. Like, it was literally like the top brand.
Everyone wanted on
everybody, yeah. And they did like all films and TV shows and all that kind of stuff, but...
You'd be on the counter as well. Yeah. And you wouldn't just wear a uniform, because you'd have certain days where, I'll never forget this, the theme was basically Divine Divine Day, because everyone wore the black and white tie around the neck and maybe a collar and maybe a glove or an accessory. Like, it was really fun. And I remember... At the time, I thought, geez, they don't do any makeup. Well,
we used to just create like a buzz. So people would come in and felt like it was kind of like a nightclub in a shop. Mm. It was fab. But I do remember like social media was just beginning and you weren't ever allowed to post anything or take photographs on your phone of any work that you did that was not done, because they wanted to be exclusive and kind of like behind the curtain, and they didn't advertise in magazines. And that's what I think changed for them, because while they weren't
stay with the trends,
because it was kind of exclusive not to be doing that because everyone was doing that. But then all these internet brands are coming out and they were relying on their business for social media. So the business model definitely has changed.
Yeah, and you don't see like Tammy Marie Mua on Instagram tagging brands like Mac anymore. They tag like, you know, like Revolution.
Do you know what the number one makeup brand in Ireland now is? Charlotte Tilbury.
I love their concealer.
Yeah. No, but a lot of it is really good marketing.
Yeah.
Like it's
and I have to say that, sorry you guys, if you aren't into makeup, we'll wrap this up in a second. I love this. Yeah. They're fucking counters. I love them. So glam. And then you know the face charts that you can be like, I'm like that woman. Yeah.
It's like a menu.
When, to be fair, none of the women are like that woman.
That's, like, you see, like when people used to come into us before, in because I worked for other brands as well, and they'd come in and they'd be like, oh, I want kind of smoky eye. They'd be explaining to you your vision of what that is, and the person's vision is completely different.
Yeah.
So in Charlotte Tilbury now, when you walk in, there's like a menu. There's the Kim, the Dolce Vita, all these looks.
I love
so that. You just pick. You're like, I like this, but not as dark.
Yeah.
So
give it's me a visual. Vibe.
Yeah, because it just means they can bash through makeups, and you know, makeup's not that complicated.
No. But shout out to Bobbi Brown, because she got me through a lot of hard times with her contour powders.
Bobbi B?
I used to spend €40 on them. I wasn't even making €40.
So expensive.
I loved them. Anyway, we'll wrap up on that.
We digress.
In other news, the whole world is starting to go on staycations, including me. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a little bubble dome in the middle of a forest in Fermanagh. And it was quite lovely, except there I am. It's 6 a.m. It's fucking so bright.
I was just going to say, how was the temperature in the dome?
By 10:30 in the morning.
Bacon, was it?
Because I'd watched Eurovision, Leslie Roy's, and we'll come to Eurovision in a minute, Leslie Roy, the night before, I had had a few drinks while watching Leslie Roy. Yeah. And then because I was disappointed with the result, I'd had even more drinks.
Okay.
So by 10:30, I was like a nice 220 in the oven. Just turn, bake me. That was quite warm. But I only did one night in the bubble and then one night in this suite on the other side of the lake. I would say it was gorge, it was fab. I felt like I was in a Taylor Swift video, and I don't even like Taylor Swift. It's just something different.
I feel like when you're talking about that, I have this fear comes over me about being at like Electric Picnic when you wake up dying a death. When they say wake up, come to in the tent, and you're literally like, you look at it and you...
demonstrate to the people, like audibly, you're come to what it sounds like. So 3, 2, 1.
No, do you know what the worst thing is? Is when you literally just like, your eye flickers. It's like a, you know when someone's been knocked out in a movie and then they're slightly coming to, and you open and you just look and the first thing you see is a handful of nails and you realize you were so fucked up.
You didn't take off your
nails. You didn't take your nails off. And then you're like, you just look at your nails and you're like, what else is on? You just have this fear. This cold sweat breaks over you.
One titty still in.
You're in a fiberglass bubble. Mm-hmm. The heat is baking down. There's a barbershop quartet singing, rehearsing behind you. Do you remember
shout
that?
Shout out to them. There's a lot of gays in that one. And actually, I didn't appreciate them at 9 a.m., but I appreciated them at lunchtime.
They did not appreciate us because we had a few mouthy Marys in our group and they were saying, sing us this. And they were not. They
Annie
were
Brittany?
Annie Brittany was one, yeah. So, God, I missed those days.
Or else you just wake up in the tent because someone's pissing on your tent. Do you know what I mean? Or
nothing worse than a leak in like with roof leaks or there's, like I remember where was it? We went back and somebody was like, my tent is full of water. And I was just like, haha. I was like, I'm going to bed.
So yeah, everyone's trying to make Ireland feel like Spain at the moment. Yeah. And to be honest, we're very blessed with the weather. So it feels kind of
Don't say
nice.
That. I feel like it's going to jinx.
No. If the weather doesn't stay like this, then it's not gay rights and the weatherman is fucking homophobic. Yeah. So
okay, I'm down with that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Are you going to do any staycationing yourself though?
No. You know me, I'm not. I'm a bit of a homebody and until things start resuming feeling like life again, I'm not that desperate for a holiday.
Okay.
To be honest, I'm really not. Like, I feel like it's been stressful and all what we do, but I don't need to go and sit in Meath.
Very fair.
I don't need to sit in Meath when I can sit at home in my own shit.
Very fair. Well, speaking of stress, we spoke about a lot in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're very anxious at the moment. Mm-hmm. For multiple reasons, our whole world has been virtual for the last year. And I think I have a little bit of anxiety about going back to real life. Yeah. I think that we're busy bees as such over the next couple of weeks. Anxiety about that. And it's really been getting in on me. So I put on my big girl panties and I got the number of recommendation for a little counsellor.
Okay.
And I've started a little bit of counselling. I've only done 2 sessions, but I have to say, I haven't done it since I'm age of 12.
Is this for your alcohol addiction?
No. Just to talk shit out, you know, that kind of way.
I know. It's,
let a little bit of the stress and the madness out of your head because we've been you know, it's that like film Hustlers by Jennifer Lopez. She could never do what we did in the last year. Like that pole would have been minced.
That being said, we couldn't do what she did in that movie. Like, let's be real.
I'd wear that fucking fur coat though.
I know.
Woohoo.
Well, not a faux fur.
No, faux fur. And so I started and I had my second session yesterday. And I have to say, there's something quite freeing about talking to somebody who, and it's through Zoom, who I have no idea who she is. I can tell her whatever the fuck I want. And she's not going to turn around to me and go, ah, you're gas, girl.
I know. It's been like living in a pressure cooker. Mm. And even like having to do certain tasks, I find it's very difficult to do certain things and kind of try and stay positive. And especially when you're like looked upon to be the life and soul of the party or to bring this, it's very draining.
Yeah.
And not to be like Debbie Downer, because we know this podcast, everyone is having this.
That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. You're talking to me about it. I'm talking to you about it. And I'm sure lots of you at home have also got weird anxieties. And basically, I'm just saying it's okay.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while. As they would say, it's a mood. It's definitely a mood that is out there. And yeah, it's all just about kind of trying to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel, especially personally lately, it's kind of like it's overtaking me at times where it's to get one thing done, I have to really focus on it.
Yeah.
So hopefully it just kind of passes.
And then you go into Starbucks and they don't have your fucking favorite iced tea.
Like, now you're triggering.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to kill him. No, she wasn't like that at all. Okay. On a lighter note, Rebecca Moore has started More Life on YouTube.
Oh.
It's behind the scenes.
So the Cocteau Stories are no more.
They're no more, right? And Rebecca, by the way, had agreed to come and chat with us and on our podcast. And to be honest, the only reason I haven't gone back to her is I feel that she's going to think that we're just trying to get that juicy.
Well, we are.
Raw
so
moment.
Get back onto
okay,
it.
Okay, I will. I'm going to get back onto it. But in the next episode, there's a preview of it, and she does say, listen, Sophie said online a year ago that, you know, she wanted out of this. I wish she had a fucking told me that then, instead of putting me through what she's put me through this last year. And she didn't like it when I said that about her fella, and I knew it. I don't know if anyone's watching, but Sophie's fella is a porn star as well.
Yeah.
And
Damien something.
There's a little look in his eye, girl.
Yeah.
I know what that look is.
Yeah.
You know what that look
is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And I'll say no more on that because that's her own private relationship. But go check out Rebecca's new YouTube show because it's quite nice. It's just normal. You know, her daughter's in the first episode.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I will check it out because to be honest, they were both very, very sweet when we had them over last year for Pride, or 2 years ago, should I say.
Lovely and very accommodating. And
do you know, I saw Sophie did Instagram there recently and the boyfriend was on the thing and the comments start coming in.
He was very aggressive.
I think I didn't see the comments because I watched it later, but there must have been some comments that weren't tasteful, I suppose, because he was not happy.
He was not happy, but also he was ready to fight from the get-go.
Yeah.
So like that, I didn't like that because she's such a soft spirit. And like, and just to give you an idea, when the girls were backstage, they were exactly the same as what they were like on
really
stage.
Fun.
Like,
really
to be honest, it shocked us. Really fun, really sweet, and up for the crack.
What else has been going on?
Eurovision.
Eurovision. Yeah, we are so disappointed. And we know we had such a fab chat with Leslie last episode, and I was devastated for her. Mm-hmm. I was actually devastated. I couldn't focus on the Eurovision because
I truly was. I thought she did a great job.
Really good.
I thought the staging was like totally, she wanted to give us something that we hadn't had before. Yeah. And that's exactly what she did. And do you know what? I was just so glad not to see two diddly eye fucking dancers on stage who aren't even touring with Riverdance anyway. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing that I did notice is like,
sorry, by the way, two of our favourite listeners are part of the Riverdance team, high up at the Riverdance. We're not saying that in relation
to
that.
Not you guys, we're not referencing you.
I'm just saying, love Riverdance, but normally the ones that end up on Eurovision aren't part of that.
just to be clear.
Yes.
But I think that some of the people, the Eurovision fans, especially the Irish fans, were really hard on Leslie.
I
saw some comments that I'm just like, actually, right, like nobody knows what it's like to go out on that stage.
No.
To the nerves to represent after being, you know, pawned off for a year to come back. That takes a lot of balls, a lot of guts and a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And like to be kind of so cutting or like mean, get the bus.
And let's be real, there was about 60 versions of Wild Dances by what they called again, Go, Wild Dances. I'm like, you guys, that's not going to be us. That's not the kind of pop music we're ever going to deliver. So we have to have something that represents Ireland. And she did it to the T. And it makes me so happy to see her on her holidays at the moment, wherever she is.
Well deserved.
Well fucking deserved. Okay. We have to address something before we move on. Mm-hmm. So everyone's talking about it. The drinking in town, the session in town, the whole works.
How do you feel about it?
My only thing is, because I was in town at the weekend and I did have a few drinks and I left after an hour. And the reason I left after an hour was it was just too many people. And I'm not used to being around that many people. So it did give me anxiety. So I left. My only thing is that I had a bag with me and I picked up my rubbish on the way home. Now, I understand that the bins are overflowing and the council have not done anything about that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're choosing not to do anything like that because I think they want town to look a fucking mess.
Oh, absolutely.
People. But
you can't lock people in their homes like, you know, technically since Christmas and then say we're going to have an outdoor summer. And then when people go outdoors, cause abruptions. Mm-hmm. And everyone that's vulnerable and supposed to be vaccinated is supposed to be already, so they're the ones that we were staying at home for. You know, don't go out to the sesh because you'll kill granny. Granny's been vaccinated now.
Yeah, well, so actually, sorry, but mine's almost a year gone. So if you could be a bit sensitive.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. But it is like coming up to her
bring
year.
It down.
It's coming up to her year, the week of Pride.
Listen, we'll be celebrating yours if you're not careful.
Oh.
So that's one big thing. Like, you can't tell people that. It's total mixed messaging again, but this is what we've got for the whole year. So I'm so fucking over it now.
Totally. So I'm saying, go do your fucking drinking.
Live
go
your
have
life.
Fun.
Live your life.
But if you could try and just not be such a rubbishy bitch, that's it. That was the only thing that kind of like, I was like, ugh, gross.
Town clean up disgusting. Your act.
And then that is it. That comes to the end of our little girly gossip.
Well, listen, so we're going to do a petty promotional moment. We're going to have a little moment. And last month we did a Patreon only exclusive event, which was absolutely so much fun.
It's honestly one of the most favourite things we've done all year.
And with this being Pride Month, we've decided that we're going to do another one.
On the 18th of June.
Yes, at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. So if you are signed up to our Patreon, you should be getting an invite. All details will
it's
be
free.
On the Patreon.
Totally it's free. You can join our Patreon from only €2, but I'm advising you go the whole way and do the €6 because we have recorded so much fun content. Last week we released, okay, let's try and do it. It's a new series called Diva
on
Diva.
Ugh.
where we talk about our favorite divas and just like really do a deep dive on them. It's available in video content. Yeah. It's available in audio content.
We have lots of really fun content. And we have lots of stuff we're filming this week as well. Yeah. Upcoming. Just really silly, kind of lighthearted video, audio. It's all there. So do check it out and sign up because it is worth it.
And we always do a shout out to our Patreon person of the week.
Who is our petty Patreon?
It is the lovely Michael Ganley, who sent us an amazing message saying, you know, we all did a fucking lot of walks during lockdown. Yeah. And he said, girls, thank you so much. This fucking podcast got me through so many 5 kilometer walks throughout the lockdowns. So Michael, we say thank you very much.
Yeah, keep walking.
No, keep, stop walking.
Stop, no, keep walking.
Unless the off light, I'm over walking.
Keep the joints moving, love. You don't want to seize up.
Right, what's coming up next, Davina?
Next up, we have an interview with fabulous top Irish model, former Miss Ireland, mm-hmm. and star of Britain's and Ireland's Next Top Model. It is the gorgeous Holly Carpenter.
Holly Carpenter. Okay, you guys, we've got a very special guest in our hands. And to be honest, it's someone that I've been dying to have a proper gossip with for a while. We know her because she is no shy beauty from around town. And we would bump into her in the George.
Occasionally.
Occasionally, having a good time. But she's kind of one of those people that's been there, done it all.
Yeah.
And I think has a lot of stories to tell. So we have the lovely Holly Carpenter on today. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Holly.
How are you? I'm delighted you guys asked me.
Oh, lovely to have you. You were like, our list has been so, like, it's so long. And of course, we do this like every 2 weeks. So it's hard to kind of try and fit everyone in. So we were like, literally going through, we're like, right, we need to get these people on. Because there's like still a list of people that we need to get. So we're delighted to have you here. We finally got you.
Yeah.
Wrangled you down.
3 beauties in one podcast. Oh, I mean, I don't know how the people at home are going to handle this. I can tell you we're all in full glam at the moment.
Full glam.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Full Monday glam.
Love your wigs.
Thanks. Love your wig too, hun. Come here, Holly, let's start with the important things. Things just opened up in Dublin, so people have been able to get their hair, their makeup, their everything done. I saw that you were calling it on Fleek Week. How did that go for you?
Yeah, Fleek Week was intense. I had a lot of work to get done. I felt like, you know, when you go into a car garage and they put the car up on that thing. I wanted to get service. Like, I just wanted to lie there and have, like, all of the bits done to me. I know that sounds a bit rude. But
no, it works. It works. That's okay.
Yeah, so I did get my pedicure last week. I got my colour done. I got my extensions out. So I don't have any extensions at the moment, which feels really weird. But I'm kind of enjoying the break. Like, I feel like... maybe I've become a bit more natural.
Do you think lockdown has changed you?
Yeah, I'm a natural woman now.
Same.
I give it 2 weeks. We'll be like, lash the stenos in.
I know. I can't wait to go full glam. Like, I want to be in like a slick blazer and like stilettos stamping around town. Yeah. Because you kind of do get giddy when you win now. Like, that was my first time in Brown Thomas there. And it is a bit weird though, because you kind of feel, I don't know about you guys, I almost have a bit of social anxiety. Like, I don't want to stand close to people and stuff. Not because I'm afraid of getting a virus, it's just that I don't want to be on top of someone.
Do you kind of feel like, I saw groups of people sitting down by the canal last week, and normally I'd be like, oh, I'm so jealous, but my gut like thought was, oh my god, so many people. Like, and I'm like, how has this happened? Where it's like mentally, subconsciously, you have this kind of social anxiety, weird fear that's like right in the back of your mind where it was never there before. It's weird, isn't it?
And then I feel like when I have my mask on and my sunglasses and my headphones, like, you're kind of so removed from everything you have that on. And you feel like no one will, you can walk past your best friend with your mask on, they wouldn't even know it's you. Like, so there's this weird kind of buzz. But I think we've all been through so much that, like, we actually, will take us a while to get back to that. But then you're like, a few drinks when we were out. Yeah.
To be honest, I have to say, one thing I do love about this is that actually walking around with sunglasses and a mask on, like, it's a little bit touch of the Michael Jacksons, but it's actually kind of nice. You know, when you just, like you're the next morning after where your tan's worn off and you look just like hell and you're like, actually, here, sunglasses, mask, hood up. You literally look like the Invisible Man walking around. I kind of love it.
Come here, Holly, you have done so much. I actually don't know what age you are, but you look very young.
Timeless, I mean, like a Chanel bag.
The lighting is on point. You're looking great. What age are you? Because you've done so much.
I'm 29.
There you go.
The lady's age, 29.
Yeah.
That's the lady's age. We always say 29 is always a good age to stay, because then you never have to turn 30 and have a shit like party down Harcourt Street.
I know. Well, I'm going to go really extra for my 30th. And okay. I think I'm going to have it in Mykonos.
Oh, amazing.
All going well with everything restriction wise, but I'm going to get, like, do you remember Paris Hilton's 21st dress?
Yes, of course. The silver made. Kind of diamante. Yeah. Oh my God, amazing.
Iconic.
Love it.
I love that you have your whole 30th planned and it's super glam. We're not even sure if we're going to be able to leave the house then. You know what I mean?
I don't know what I'm going to do for my 30th.
Yeah, no, I think I actually said, I saw my friend Evan earlier today and he was like, you're not still 29, are you? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, everyone always thinks I'm way older because I've been knocking around for years. Yeah. But like, I was 19 when I won Miss Ireland.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was 10 years ago. So it's mad that I literally went from like first year in college, like it was in NCAD, you know, like sitting out in the ground drinking cans to literally being at Miss World and everything changing. So that, that was kind of 2011 when everything, I never planned to get into modeling or pageantry.
Pageantry. That's so funny when you said that, like, because that's when you kind of first came onto my radar in particular. I was like, you know, this gorgeous new like Miss Ireland. And I cannot believe that that's been 10 years ago. Like, where has the time gone? It's nuts.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
Holly, were you modeling before that? Like, how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, I joined a modeling agency called Compton Agency, ran by John Compton, who's like such a good friend now. Mm-hmm. He's lovely. And I was just in college and I kind of was like, I'll give it a go and do some test shoots with him. And then there was a page, there was like, I think it was in Dandelion or something. It was Miss it was Miss University.
Okay. So I,
you know, obviously Eamon.
Yes.
The two. Eamon was like, why don't you just like be Miss NCAD and go in there and win those designer jeans? Because there was a pair of designer jeans with price. They were like,
the Victoria Beckhams or something, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
they were,
oh my God, yeah.
Like the dazzled pockets and everything. I was like, I need these jeans. So I went in representing NCAD, won Miss University, and then I was immediately put into the final of Miss Ireland. So it all was just kind of mad, but like it was so exciting as well. Yeah. And like, as once I'm in a competition like that, I get so competitive and I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm not really that competitive, but if I decide it really matters to me, then I was like, I have to win. And I think because I didn't really play sports or anything growing up, I was kind of on the basketball team for a minute, but like nothing.
For a minute.
but I think to have my family there, like at the final Miss Ireland and like cheering for me and getting up and clapping and stuff, I felt like my brother always had those moments with his football. Wow. And I was like, why is no one like clapping for me? So, so it was kind of just like they played Katy Perry Firework and there was a massive confetti gun. It was just so camp and beautiful.
Oh, that's the dream.
That actually sounds like a premonition, you know, when you like see yourself, like that's hilarious. So iconic. So you hadn't been kind of modeling before. That was your first kind of like foray into, was it?
Yeah, it was. And back then it was such a different time. Like I didn't really have Instagram. I think I had it, but it was like we didn't have Instagram stories then. So putting up a static was such a huge deal. Remember we'd all put up like a picture of a coffee cup and stuff. It was just so weird. So then it was more about like everything was in the papers. So I started being written about loads in the papers and then getting photo calls. Mm-hmm. But I actually won a car for Miss Ireland, but I kept failing my driving test because
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But they wouldn't give me the car because I didn't even actually ever drive before my first test. I just went in and thought that it'd be fine. And I think So like, I used to have to do photo shoots with the car in the middle of Grafton Street in a pair of short shorts, and then instead of being like, love my car with my crown on, and then they'd be like, all right, and they drive it off, then I go off my Yaris.
Oh my God, stop that. I mean, just, you mentioned the photo calls, because Ireland has like a history of, I mean, I'm not sure how to describe them. Slightly cringe photo calls.
They are absolutely iconic. Like, I just cannot get enough. Back in the day, like, because I was working Mac, like, back, you know, like, in the mid-90s, or mid-90s, and, like, we were always doing makeup for those photo calls, and, like, you name it, like, people dressed as telephones. I actually did even a couple. I was in a giant teacup at the top of Grafton Street, like, mad shit.
Or do you remember the one outside the RDS where they wanted us to get into, like, a pit. Paddling pool,
a mud pit
full of mud, and we were like, no, in tights, drag tights.
And like, I feel like looking back, like, there's definitely times where the models just weren't really treated that well. Like, you'd be kind of just told you the job at Stephen's Green at 2 o'clock, and you'd arrive, and there'd be someone like, they're like, well, the parrot's going to be here soon. There was actually a parrot at one that they'd put on their shoulder. They'd be like, I was like, where can I change into my costume? You'd actually be like told to get in either the back of the photographer's car or in behind a bush in the Stephen's Green. And I just look back and I'm like, it was actually all so weird. And then also, obviously, people would have really slagged Irish models because it's kind of an easy target.
Yeah.
And then it's that, like, I just felt like the girls were always being slagged so much. And if you're a man and you're a gap player or a rugby player, you're untouchable. But the minute you say that you're a model, it doesn't matter what else you do, like, you just get slagged.
That's so true. And it's real, like, you know, because there was always this kind of like Irish model, wasn't it? That was the tone. And it was just so, like, you're totally right. That is totally the way it was. But there was, I think, a big, like, what would you say, like, correlation between kind of like Irish models and like this, like, they were celebrities more. So it was celebs.
Because they kind of, you couldn't see people's holiday photos and stuff as much on Instagram or whatever. Like, it was more about what was in the papers. So, like, you'd go to an event or something and, like, you'd be kind of terrified because you'd get, like, sacked the stylist, or you'd see someone. And there was kind of this, like, pressure with it all. Yeah. And especially only being 19, I think I was definitely naive and, like, thrown into the deep end a bit with it. But, like, obviously there's times that were just so funny. But, like, I do love looking back at that era of Ireland where it's just so... gas, like, especially like even older ones, like slightly older ones than me, like Glenda Gilson and stuff, they would have to do like the most bizarre photo calls because, like, I don't know, but it was just an iconic moment. And then obviously Instagram took over, but like, I feel like a lot of the people now that are big on Instagram and stuff that only were always ever vlogging, they kind of missed that weird part where we were all like
working.
Yeah, like going to the VIP Style Awards and like doing all this mad stuff, and like, you'd have to be out there and in it, you know. Yeah.
And it was kind of like very social, wasn't it? So there was a big social scene attached to it. So it was like you were always out and about in nightclubs and being spotted and all that. I miss that side of Irish life and Irish culture, because that's just, it's real flat now. And you know, the people that were out and about, they were great crack as well.
And characters.
There was characters. And now people are, dare I say, a lot of people are very two-dimensional and very flat because they're too afraid to get cancelled, or they're afraid to say this. Or
I know. It's so true. Like, I think... yeah, the whole cancel thing is such a weird one, because like, on one hand, I think it's great that people are being more cautious with how they speak and the way they talk about things, but you can't just have the crack anymore sometimes. I feel like anything you say is taking it out of context, and especially with the pandemic. Like, they had me on talking to Pat Kenny recently just about kind of lockdown fatigue.
What a dish, Pat Kenny.
He's like paranoid android, isn't he?
Like, very, like, quite robotic, but like, he is obviously an icon as well.
Yeah, of course.
But like, I had to go on and talk to him, and I was just kind of saying, it's mad how you can think back to your life before. You'd get up, I'd do a gym session, meet someone for breakfast, go to a meeting, come home, change, go to an event, get ready for something that night, end up out for drinks, and you do it all again tomorrow. And I'm like, now I go for a walk with my dog and I do like you know, the most smallest, the bare minimum, like, I need a nap.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think everyone's just wrecked, like, from the actual day-to-day stress of everything we've been through. And I was talking about that. So, and I also said, look, at the end of the day, I know we have the 5K rule at the moment, but if the sea is 10k from your house, and if it makes your day so much better to get out and jump in the sea and come home, I was like, I really don't see the problem in bending restrictions that way. And then, of course, then he said to me, oh yeah, same thing, you know, I think I can't think of anyone I know who hasn't slightly bent the restrictions. The next thing, a headline article goes up, Holly Carpenter says that it's okay to bend lockdown restrictions.
Oh, fuck off.
It's so crazy, isn't it?
Fuck off.
And then you can imagine the comments are all like, girls like her make me sick. What an entitled little cow.
Can I just say on that, though, because I am a nosy cow myself. So after a few glasses...
another.
But after a few glasses of wine, like, I will sometimes do a deep dive on like certain little posts that people have done. You get it hard on Instagram, and to be honest, sometimes it takes a lot of restraint for me not to take on the fight for myself. And I know our friend Pixie has actually taken on a few people because they've been, I don't know what it is, I think it plays into the fact that you're female for a start. Mm-hmm. And
jealousy as well, and like, jealousy, let's call it, like, people are afraid in this country to say.
And we're saying that just before anyone else runs with that. We're saying like, the jealousy word.
But you see that with like lots of different people. I have lots of like girlfriends and stuff like that that are glam online, and they do get stuff like that. And people are afraid to say it because it's almost like there's a shame in that, because it's almost like you're fab and people are jealous.
Yeah.
Like that is.
Like, I understand that, like, everyone has their opinion on everyone. And I know that I think I can just maybe somehow rub people up the wrong way sometimes. I don't know, like, what I actually particularly do. Just, I don't know. But I think people know that if they say something to me, I will either say it back or put it on my story or tweet about it. Yeah. Like, I'm not one to be like, oh, do you know what? Like, I'm not going to react, because it's hard not to.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes I'm like, it's the same people. And I'm like, why are you still following me if everything I do irritates you? Yeah. Like, imagine going and choosing to follow someone you don't like and messaging them about the fact that you don't like their outfit or whatever, or you think they're,
that's like me to Victoria.
Yeah.
Well, that's you control your own friends, that's fine.
Yes, totally. But
it's true. Yeah, it's, and it's, I was only thinking about that when I was walking up, like, and there is so much of that kind of trolling going on, and I think people do it like now for sport, and especially I think in the pandemic people are at home and they're more on their phones and they're just looking to lash out or to have that, what was it I was calling people, like, your COVID frustration target, do you know what I mean?
That's just so true. Like, all this mad stuff of filming everyone on South William Street and tweeting it, going, look, the state of this, or taking pictures of the canal. Obviously, I know that, like, on one hand, we had a case where it probably did get a bit out of control in town, and I don't know, but it's just like, I don't want to lose our Irish culture of just being such good crack, all getting on with each other. It's like the pandemic has kind of turned people against each other a little bit, because we're all so,
well, it's
just
dividing people. It's dividing, and I think when people see people kind of like doing things that maybe if they're following restrictions to the T, and then they see someone else that might have been through society, they're like, well, how come I'm sacrificing this and that person isn't? And then it just goes, you know,
show me the person that's following it to the T. But anyway, let's actually move on to brighter things, because we are both huge Top Model fans, and we obviously spoke a bit about your modeling, and I remember so clearly, I remember so many instances on that show. It looked like a very hard show to film, I'm guessing, especially at that time. Maybe the budget wasn't very fancy either, so it wasn't maybe the nicest circumstances in the background. But I also just remember clearly them coming for you about your makeup, and
this was Britain and Ireland's
Next
Top Model.
Sorry, did I not say what it was?
I just said Top Model. So
sorry,
Britain and Ireland's Next Top Model, and they had history with like Lisa Snowden, wasn't she the host? And then obviously they got like a bit of it. I think they moved to Living or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's where I kind of would have loved to have done it, back in the Abby Clancy era, where it was on a different channel. It was a bigger deal, but I still think it was kind of, it was still relevant, but I think more people in the UK watched it than here. But I actually was just watching Top Model one time at home, and at the end, the credits were like, to apply, just follow this link, and it goes to the website. And I was like, I'm just going to apply and not tell anyone. And then I ended up doing an interview over the phone, and then I had to fly over and do like an interview in London, fly back and do it again. It's just mad, like, how so many of these shows, there's so much before you ever get on.
Yeah, I don't think people are aware of that as well. They just see what comes out like for that hour or whatever, even though it's taken so much prep and crap to kind of get together.
Exactly. And they were like to me, look, if it goes into the papers or anything that you're coming here or that we're away filming this, like, we're just going to edit you out of the show. So I had to lie to like all of my friends and family, because I couldn't really trust anyone. And I didn't want to be like, what if I tell one of you guys and you get overexcited on a night out and accidentally tell
somebody,
and then you're gonna feel so bad. So I was just like, I'm not going to tell anyone. So I told my friends of all the things I just said, that I was going and doing a jewellery making course in Manchester.
A jewellery making course.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That actually was funny, because I think I even tried to lie to Eamon, or did he know something? Some of my friends were literally like to my mum, how's the jewellery course going for Holly? And my mum would have like a bead of sweat. She'd be like, yeah, it's going grand. And they're like, why is her phone off? She's like, oh, she lost it when she got to Manchester Airport. Like, the whole thing.
Just like snowballing. That's hilarious.
Oh my God, you and Elizabeth Duke over in Manchester. Like,
what kind of jewellery would you have been making, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. See, I was studying ceramics, glass and metals at one point in NCAD, so I thought it was sort of linked.
Beach glass jewellery. Beach glass.
Yeah. But like, I think there was like 14 girls, and the judges were obviously Elle Macpherson, former supermodel, and
the former supermodel.
And who else? Oh, Kylie Minogue's sister, Danny
Hope, yeah.
And then Tyson Beckford, who's your man on the motorbike in the top.
Oh, Dish.
Video.
Right. Well, we know him. Yeah. You don't have to describe him at all. I have about five pictures in my head of him already.
They kind of had me typecast as the pageant girl, and she was like, "You're playing Simon Schmeichel," and I wasn't. Like, I was like, "I think
do that again." What was she saying?
Oh, that was my Australian accent. You're playing Simon Schmeichel. I can't do it. But and I used to get roasted for it, and I'd be like, really, because one of the girls would come in like with this full smoky eye and a plum lip, and I'd have like the smallest winged liner, and I'd get dragged. Like, so I was just, I knew.
And do you think they were being told, the producers were probably telling them to do that, because that feels very pointed, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And also there was all these mad things like where, like, because obviously Elle would only ever go on camera when there's two massive ring lights were on her that would knock her 20 years off, like, which is fair enough.
Did you say knock 12 years off?
20.
Oh, 20.
Well, I'd be the same if I was on a show like that. I'd be like, come on, follow me around with that. But I remember one time we all had a fairy tale themed shoot and all the girls were princesses. And Elle just looked at me and goes, "You're going to be the Wicked Witch." Oh. And I was like, "I'm fine with that." I was like, I think when you're watching a Disney show, you always remember more about
the villains. Yeah, absolutely.
More, like, they're way more camp and loud and in charge.
And glam, to be honest, as well.
Yeah, glam. So they put me in this awful witch costume. Like, I had a hat and, like, all this stuff. And I was just, like, freaking out. And I had a fight with one of the girls, Angel, right before I went on. And Elle just turned the corner and was like, "What's wrong, Holly?" And she's like, "Got the guys to bring all the lights around." And I was like, trying not to hyperventilate in the costume because it was so tight. And I was just like, "Oh no, it's nothing." I just kind of, and she was like, "Tell me exactly what happened." So like, I told her what Angel had said. She's like, "Look, don't worry, get in there, you'll be great." And then when we went to the delivery room afterwards, whatever it's called, where we're going through who's going home, she's like, "I was so disappointed in you, Holly." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You should never bring your problems to work at a photo shoot, turning around and telling me in front of everyone what Angel said to you." And I was like, "But you asked me to tell you." And she was like, "That's not the point." And I just remember feeling so, like, there were so many moments like that where, like, you feel like you're doing the right thing, and then it gets turned on you.
What a head fuck.
Gaslighting.
It's so mad. And also, like, because there's 14 of us in total at the start, and 11 of us were in one bedroom with all our suitcases, all our shoes, all our makeup. And then there was like 5 camera guys, 3 producers, 2 runners, all in living in the house as well.
Wow.
So like, there
that
was so,
so intense.
Yeah, there was, and you weren't allowed, like, tell your parents, like, ring your parents or anything. So they obviously took your phone. So you'd get 2 phone calls home a week, and they have to be recorded on camera. So even if I wanted to ring my boyfriend at the time, they would be like, "You've got 4 minutes because one of the girls is in next after you." And you'd be like trying to be like, telling them, like, "Oh, I did an underwater photo shoot, and then we had a shoot with a snake, and I really miss you." And you're trying to talk, but then your phone was on. And like, also, I found it kind of stressful because I tried to be so skinny before I went. I was like half the size I am now. Like, I was very thin, and they wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't know what your shoot was the next day. So you could be doing a nude shoot the next day, and the crew would just bring you all in pizzas for dinner the night before. And like, you'd be up filming till like midnight. And I just remember being so hungry, but I didn't want to eat the pizza because I thought we might get like a nude photo shoot the next day.
Yeah.
And I was just definitely like under eating, missing my family, freaking out, like not sure what the producers wanted me to do. Like, I thought Elle hated me. So like, I definitely came home after that experience being a little bit like,
what an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah,
like,
it was. But it was great too. Like,
you were saying like that there was like 14 girls, and like, did you have any kind of kinship with them? Did you like, was there any of them that you were kind of close with, or what was the vibe there?
Sophie, Naomi and Saffron, we were like, the 4 of us were inseparable. Our beds were in a row, and like, they all came over to Dublin and we did a big night out and everything, and like, they're so sweet. Like, so I still follow all of them on Instagram and that kind of thing. Like, I think you kind of, it was like we went through something together, you know?
Of course. Trauma.
You're all traumatized. But now, like, when I watch things like Big Brother or, you know, Love Island and stuff, you know, when you see someone just freaking out and people on Twitter are like, "She's so dramatic, why is she bawling, crying, like blah, blah," I actually feel like so sorry for them now, because you can understand everything going on in the background and how you're so far removed, you've no control. It's like being a kid again, because you can't just decide to get your phone and go to the bathroom. You need to ask permission for everything. But like, it's just mad, because you know what it's like when you're putting on any kind of production or whatever. You're like, how did they get that shot of like the girls walking out of the house and then walking back? So everything we did, like, the crew would move, so you know, a small thing would take ages. But I think after that, like, it was brilliant, but I kind of felt like I'd done Miss World, I'd done Britain's Next Top Model, and then I didn't really know what to do next. You're just like,
and do you feel like you were kind of what would you say, like, kind of pigeonholed or something because of Top Model? Like, where you kind of, did it hinder you in any way, or did it enhance things for you?
It did enhance things. I remember I was still getting booked by like Brian Thomas and like Arnott's and stuff afterwards. So I was worried that I'd be kind of put as like a reality TV star.
Yeah.
I was still getting booked for good modeling stuff and all that kind of thing. But I think, yeah, it helped me get more TV work. Like I've done some like, oh God, I did Celebrity MasterChef and Samantha Mumba was on it the same year as me.
Yeah.
I heard her chatting with you guys. She's so, so cool, isn't she?
Like, we love
one of the best.
Yeah.
I know, she's honestly just so sound, but I was the first one kicked off Celebrity MasterChef.
Can you cook?
Not really. Like I wouldn't be the best, but I made a sauce. How do you say Bernays sauce?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Bernays.
Like loads of butter and vinegar, but they kept telling us that we had to taste it as we went, but I was just forgetting to taste and I threw loads of vinegar in because like obviously like the camera guys around you and they're like, you've got 2 minutes left and you're freaking out. So then when they went, the little chives that I put in it kind of went black and I was like, it
looked like vanilla.
Yeah, I was like, is that what's happened? So then they tasted it and they were both started coughing and a crew member had to come in and bring them water. And I was like, they were like, did you even taste
kill the
this?
Crew.
That's yeah, iconic.
Like, and so like when these reality shows kind of approach you, like do you like, because Samantha was saying like that Dance on Ice came to her and she was like, that was one of the ones that suited her kind of lifestyle and she was, you know, around at the time and she was approached by all these other, were you approached by other reality shows about getting involved?
I did actually do an interview for Love Island.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I've never really talked about it because I was just like, I don't know, I felt like, what age was I? I was actually nearly 28 and it was the year just after Maura, so it was quite recently.
Okay.
And because I saw how well she did and I was like, you know what, fuck it. Like I had been single for like 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, do you know what, like I might as well just do this. But it was kind of weird, like the interview, I actually went into ITV because I did two interviews and they were kind of like, so what would you say if like you walked into the room and the boy you liked was like talking to another girl? I'd be like, I wouldn't give a shit. I'd be like, fuck him, like.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They obviously wanted someone who's like, I'd go up and I'd tell him that.
Yeah.
If I was like 20, it would have been more iconic. But yeah. I was just like, I'm 28 and I just don't know if I get in here. And all these lads are like juiced up, like, you know, like proper Love Island, like typical guys that I wouldn't probably fancy and stuff. But it's just funny because I just think I have so much respect for Maura Higgins. Like you blink and she's launching another bloody product. Yeah.
I think so. But like, I think Maura is the product now. Do you know what I mean? And she kind of went on as the product. Like when you're talking about that, if I could see you, I have watched Love Island. Davina hasn't really. Like you're almost a bit too real for it because
I just
don't think you'd be like, the producers would be looking for something very specific, you know, that kind of way. But
I appreciate that. I also think though they love having people that they can mold and like I remember completely playing the game on Love on Britain's Next Top Model because they'd kind of come in and one of the producers would say to one of the girls, did you hear what Holly said when she was getting changed? And like they'll plant seeds and the next thing a girl just storms in and starts giving out to you or whatever. So like I think maybe I was too mature. And I think because a lot of the people who go on Love Island, they literally go from wherever they're working in a salon or whatever they're doing, and it's their first time ever doing this. But because my family, a lot of people, like I grew up, my granny was quite famous in Ireland and stuff like that. So like I was always around kind of level of media training, always knowing what to say and how to handle situations. So I don't know if I would have been too switched on for Love Island by then.
But just about that, because obviously you did Dancing with the Stars Ireland and you were partnered up with Curtis, who was on
Love Island.
I'm going to be real. You kind of rotted me on Love Island, being honest. And for some reason, anytime I even see AJ as well, who's his brother,
he rots me more.
I'm like,
he rots me more.
AJ's like a little girl looking at me. I'm like, that skin is just too pretty. I can't take it.
Flawless.
Oh, so flawless. But so what was it like in general working with Curtis before Love Island? Because now obviously his life has completely changed.
It's so weird. I remember when we went to the mixer for Dancing with the Stars and none of us knew who was going to be on it. So it was all really hush hush and I just arrived and I saw Darren Kennedy and I was like, oh my God. And I got so excited when I saw him. And then I saw like, you know, everyone else that was there and I was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. And they introduced me to Curtis. And like, initially I was like, he's unreal. I thought he was like really hot, really confident, really tall. I was like, this is gonna be great. But then I think because when someone's your dance partner, they're always just telling you what to do,
and
I
start hating them.
Yeah, I understand that you're a professional dancer and I can't dance and stop telling you what to do. So then I was just like, you kind of like, everyone would be kind of sort of fighting with their dancers a bit because it was such an intense, like we'd be doing training for that 8 hours a day or maybe more sometimes, and obviously you're dancing on live TV in front of like the whole country. Like the viewings for the viewership for that show is great in Ireland, but I definitely loved that experience. But I felt like the way everything went, because while I was dancing with Curtis, he got injured, and then they gave me another dancer called Kent from Australia who was really nice, but like we didn't have the same,
Trent. Connection.
Yeah. Name was Trent, not Kent. Trent. I was like, Kent. Obviously made a huge impression on me. But we just didn't have the same kind of banter as I had with Curtis. So, and then the weird thing was that he was actually flying home the Monday after the last live show I did. And I was like, who am I going to, if I don't get eliminated this weekend, what am I going to do? And they're like, we have already figured that out. Like, we think you might have to dance with Ian, the choreographer and stuff. I was like, and I was kind of like, can I say this when the judges asked me? Like, can I say I'm really hoping that I get voted? And they were like, no. So I wasn't allowed to say it. And then he was already leaving the next day. And then I got kicked off.
Okay, we're going to cut that there. That was our interview with Holly Carpenter, fan of the show. She always listens in. So Holly, we could have honestly chatted for like hours long. So we're going to just wrap that up there. If you want to check the rest of the interview, it's going to be over on our Petty Patreon.
Mm-hmm. You can find Holly on Instagram where, Davina?
At Holly Carpenter, or you can find her on Twitter at Holly0910.
And to be honest, you guys, Twitter is where the juicy stuff is. Yeah. That's where she's bound to say something about a GAA player, and then the GAA heads come first. Also, Davina, that was a wonderful sales pitch for our Patreon. So I'm just going to give you a round of applause. Salesperson of the month.
Thank you.
For the Petty crew, and there's only two of us, so it's either going to go to her or me. She's employee of the month. But how about we get into it? It's that time of the week, isn't it?
Our favorite time.
Rotter of the week on Petty Little Things.
So it is time for Rotter of the Week.
Ooh. And this is my favorite time. And as I said, I love listening with virgin ears. So hit me with your first Rotter of the Week. I want to be surprised and I want to give you like an honest, real reaction.
This is honestly petty. It is petty. But I'm fucking sick of it. Okay. I live in an apartment building that's easy to access.
Okay.
My first rot of the week is delivery drivers that won't get out of the fucking car. Like, they ring you when they're outside and they won't come out of their car.
Oh, I have not experienced this.
Now, I tip every single driver. Every single driver. Now, we're talking specifically food here.
Okay. However, I was thinking, I was like, you tip like the DHL man. I tip the DHL man, but not with money.
No, I tip every single like delivery driver. Yeah. Always £2. Absolutely.
£2, you stingy bitch.
Well, girl, how much food are you ordering? I'm not spending more than 20 euros.
Oh, okay.
How much are you tipping?
More than 2 euros.
So what, 2 euros 10 cents?
2 euros 50 cents. <I'm only joking.
laughs> Okay, so there's specifically, and I'm going to say the company, I'm going to do it. The Camille drivers won't get out of the cars. Okay. They won't. So like, you can literally drive into my car park and it's right beside my front door. They won't come into the car park. They'll ring to say they're outside. I have to put runners on. Now, I know that's, you know, like not a big deal. I don't mind doing it. But then I do think, what am I tipping them for?
Okay. Can I also tell you that, so a very good friend of ours who's an avid listener, our friend Bailey, who's probably listening to this right now.
Je suis Bailey.
He has very, very same rotter. Bailey is very petty about this as well, because
she's
Bailey,
not as easy to access though.
No, Bailey lives on a third floor, so he insists that the driver brings the food to the door. He's like, well, I'm paying for it, it's gonna come up. Mm-hmm. And there's one driver in particular that he has been having like a feud with for he's like, literally they have wars, and he's like, no, you have to come up, I'm not dressed. Like, there's every excuse.
I'm not dressed,
or whatever, you know, there's always an excuse. Mm-hmm. And he stopped ordering from the place because the driver wouldn't come up.
Yeah.
So we laugh at this all the time. Bailey is determined. So I know you're listening there, Bailey. She's probably screaming at the screaming at the wireless.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I can relate to that. They should bring it to...
Well, yours is on a main street.
Yeah, but you're also ground floor.
I'm ground floor.
It's not like you have to go into like a building, apartment block or up a lift or whatever. Yeah. This is too... It's kind of to your door.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I get that.
It annoys the hell out of me. And to them, I say...
How dare you!
You bastard.
I have two. I have one really kind of silly one, but another one that I didn't tell you this today, but this really, really rotted me.
Mm-hmm.
And it only happened when I was on my way here today. So I was...
Are you okay, like?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Well,
do you want a hug?
No, this could have gone a bit... I kind of had to kind of check myself a little bit.
Okay.
But so I was getting the bus.
Oh.
Yeah, I get the bus.
Sorry about that.
I get the bus. I like to, you know, be with the people, see mm-hmm. what the people are wearing, mm-hmm. see the fashions.
Not familiar, can't no. relate.
And while I was waiting there, there was this gang of kids. No, I mean like a huge gang, like maybe...
Ages?
15. They're probably around 15, 16.
Terrifying.
Boys, girls, real loud, real leery. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Posh kids pretending to be rough.
Oh.
So... Didn't feel as threatened. Was mm-hmm. I can see through this bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, the girls standing in one group, the boys in another, the boys being super loud, mm-hmm. literally like the testosterone and estrogen levels all over the place, hormones flying.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of mind their business, smoking a bit of hash, whatever. Over the
hashish. Who is still smoking hash in 2021? Are they not smoking the like
kiddies.
Weed?
The kiddies.
Is it not weed
who
now?
Who cares? I don't know what it is.
Davina, back in the 1996, hash. Like when everyone was right? like grinding up hash.
So where I am, it's like kind of like it's the first bus stop of the route, and this this man gets off the bus. He's like I think he had Down syndrome, so mm-hmm. he gets off the bus yeah. and he's obviously getting his connecting bus, and he's standing. So there's just two of us, and I could feel the tone change when that man got off the bus. So he's standing beside me, and all these kids kind of turn, and I could feel. I just said, I could feel the energy. They kind of were basically pointing and kind of having a moment, right? So at this poor man.
Okay.
So I just stood up. I fucking took my mask off. I took my glasses off because I want to fucking eyeball these cunts.
Yeah.
Because I heard one of them like say something smart.
Mm. How old was the man?
Like 30, maybe 40. But like just mind his own business.
So he was a bit younger than you then?
A bit younger, just a touch. And... like clearly just, you know, on his way. So mm. I stood up from the seat because I was sitting there and I was like, I'm not fucking having this. And I yeah. just said, I'll leave it out. Literally just like yeah. loud. Because the man, I don't think they even know. But it just, I could feel the tone. Because you trouble. Know, if one person says something, it's going to escalate.
Mm-hmm.
And what my rotter basically is just little fucking shits yeah. that like are going to cause trouble or yeah. be. And you know, there's loads of it going around. But who's raising these fuckers?
I know.
Just like actually be fucking kept, mm-hmm. be nice and mm-hmm. be kind. Mm-hmm. And that cuts me to my fucking mm-hmm. soul when I yeah. see someone like a vulnerable person or someone that's, and then I kind of thought, I was like, they could have like literally, like if that escalated or went a yeah. certain way.
You suffer with something that we both do, which is called drag queen rage. So yeah. it starts in your tippy toes.
Yeah.
It goes all the way to the top of your head. And before you know it, you can take on the world. Yeah. Like we could lift a car, you guys, like in our heads.
I just like anyone that's like vulnerable or on their own like that, mm. like, you know, you don't be fucking slagging people or taking the piss out of people or just don't do it. Don't do it when mm-hmm. I'm around. Don't mm-hmm. do it on my watch. I'm not having it. Just be kind. Be nice. Be yeah. sound. And I hate seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I and it, you know what? To be honest, one of the kids that was there actually kind of looked and kind of like I could see he kind of twigged that was like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
And kind of it just stopped.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it could have gone. Who was raising these people?
I know.
So that is my rotter of the week. Just because like rotten kids. That is like group mentality. Like bullying anyone mm-hmm. or commenting on anyone or mm-hmm. mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was my first rotter of the week.
And this was Davina on the bus.
You're acting diabolic.
It was me. Oh, my God. That literally was me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was before we got on the bus, which was crack. Okay.
Do you want to hear a very quick story yes. about me on the bus?
Yes.
When I was in secondary school. You're going to laugh.
Of course I'm going
to
laugh.
It was traumatic. You're okay. going to laugh. Just to be clear to the listeners, she's laughing because it's me.
Okay.
If it was a random person that experienced this, she wouldn't laugh.
Okay.
So I'm sitting up near the front because I used to sit near the driver because I was a nervous Nelly. Yeah. Do you know yeah. what I mean?
Because you're a young woman on your own traveling. Yeah.
And there was a kid from Blackrock College.
Okay.
The like poshy school.
Yes. We're aware.
And I was from the school around the corner, we'll
not,
say.
Not common.
No. But I wasn't from that fucking school either.
You weren't from the school of hard knocks on Facebook.
No. And... there was a gang of them up the back and they were like chit-chatting and like one of them then came up to get off the bus but stood beside me
okay.
and started to chat to me and right. was being nice
okay
being nice and I was on my own and then all of a sudden the bus stopped for him to get off
right
and he gave me a full clatter to the side of the face.
Oh my God.
Okay, I was expecting you to react different.
And not after what I know.
It just happened quickly and no one even noticed.
That's horrible.
No one even noticed.
No, I would not laugh at that. I think that is like, that's just what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I hate shit mm-hmm. like that. I don't find it fucking funny. I have no time for it. Yeah. That's so bullying and pointed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no time for that. And that cuts me to my fucking core. I hate that shit.
But that's why I spent my whole teenage years feeling like I stood out for those reasons. You know, that kind of way. Yeah. Like you were like, you stood out and you were potentially
Checking yourself, like Panty said in that thing. And that's...
It's so true.
That's awful. Like, no, I would not laugh at that. And I think that's fucking awful.
So anyway, I stood beside the driver from then on.
That's kind of what I was thinking about today. Like, you know, when you see people like that, or you see elderly people or maybe like people that have a disability or whatever, like they're vulnerable and they need to be kind of looked out for, and we all need to look out for each other.
Yeah.
But to have that group mentality, because it just takes one fucker.
Yeah.
One fucker.
The problem was all those people were still down the back of the bus. Exactly. So then I sat there like petrified.
It's awful. Listen, bus rotters are the rotters, for sure. Okay. And one other rotter that I think is, I don't know now how you fit, this is one thing that just drives me nuts, which is just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you know, people are getting vaccinated, people are having little get-togethers, and, you know, people are just sitting in each other's gardens. Mm-hmm. People who cannot use a fucking indoor voice.
Yeah, oh God.
Use your indoor voice, bitch. Like, you know, you see these people at, like, little soirees, and the voice just keeps escalating.
Yeah.
And you're like, shh.
If you
have to be shushed more than twice.
Don't come back. I'm going to tell you something. So me and Davina, in our heyday, pre-lockdown, we're finally engaged in some late night, what are they called?
Reveling,
okay. But I have a time limit in me. Like, right. I'm like an L one. So 5 a.m. is really when I'm like, that's my cut-off point. So I might go to bed. But if I've invited Davina back, say with two other friends, to my small apartment, by the way, like I can go to bed and not hear anything. Because once Davina Devine is at the party, everyone can hear music. There's music playing, but at a low level, and your neighbors are going to complain, and no one's going to raise their voice.
They call me Davina Decibel Divine. Do you know that?
Do they actually?
No, I do. I made that up now.
I won't even hear them leave. And the next morning, I wake up going, oh, hey, hon, are you still hearing you in the sitting room? Like, did you fall asleep on the couch? No, she's gone. She's had her full sleep as well. Yeah. Like, gas.
Like, so people, I'm very aware of, like, because people have neighbors, but when people get drunk, some people's volume levels just escalate.
Absolutely.
It drives me fucking nuts. Like, if you are one of those people that have to be shushed at a party like more than twice, three times max, three strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
And then if you ever notice, I don't know if you like, I'm just very hyper aware of someone screeching, or because it's all like focus, look at me. If you see people's eyes shifting to each other, that's always a sign you're in trouble.
A fucking sign.
Because it's nonverbal.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I learned from my bulldog. It's like, look, you give the eye.
She'd ask you to leave. I'm just saying it. Okay, I have the finest, final, like, little
tell me.
Rotter, and it's going to be very quick. It's a specific TikTok. I've come to be okay with TikTok. I love Dr. Pimple Popper on it. Okay. It's my go-to.
Is that the TV show?
Yeah, but like this. There's just people squeezing skin all day long. I could watch that for hours. Why? I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing out on something. The one that is, we're getting ripped tonight. R.I.P. that. And I'm just seeing it over and over and over and over again. And you all look so stupid. And I know I look stupid too on the TikTokers. But like,
I'm struggling with TikTok I can enjoy some people's TikToks, but I still don't really understand what the platform is.
I don't know.
There's all these, like, you know, covering the camera and then you have like transformations and all this. What is it like?
I just don't want that one anymore. So if you could all stop doing that one, that would be my request of the week. But you guys, that's the end of our episode. And I actually really enjoyed that. Me and Davina sat down and we're like, we've nothing really to talk about today. And it cut to 44 minutes later, not including the interview. We've been chatting non-stop. Okay, reminder time. Find us on our Instagram. We have exclusive content only over there. At Petty Little Things Pod. Please subscribe to it. Subscribe to the podcast, because there are people that are listening that aren't subscribed, but they watch and listen every bloody week. What's your reminder?
It'll help us be more found and more present. My reminder is just to tell somebody about this podcast. One person, share the love.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed it, even if you didn't, just tell somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Leave us a review. 5-star bitches only, because what are we? 5-star on
5-star fortunates.
And also, make sure you check out our Patreon, even if you only join us for a little month, because we have stunning content over there.
Like, I have to say, the Patreon session is actually really fun. It feels like a different thing. Like the podcast, this podcast is great and we love doing this, but the Patreon feels like a separate thing.
We didn't really know what we were going to do with it. And I'm going to say I was driving the truck and Davina was in the background. Are you sure about this?
Yeah.
And then a turning point happened a month ago where Davina was like, I'm really enjoying doing the Patreon bits now. So yeah, come over.
We didn't really know what we were supposed to be doing, but now they feel fun. They're exciting to do. Mm-hmm. And we, like, I think people are enjoying them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I am at Victoria's Secret Dublin on Instagram. Davina is
at Davina.divine.
And we're both absolutely ready to get our tits out and get out in the sun because it's gorgeous outside.
Slide into the DMs, honey bunnies.
But until next time,
stay petty.
Stay petty. Mwah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.